Welcome to the Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ackerley. Well, big day for Morgan Murphy yesterday and today. She, our CEO of Ackerley Advertising, mm-hmm. and our producer helped us with the Morning Voice for the last year. Has graduated with a degree in Master of Marketing and off on her journey. But we're not going to let her get too far away from us. You saw that picture that I sent out, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. And we're going to talk to Heather Lukic. She's the assistant vice president of the U of A. We'll talk with her a little bit.
Well, somebody has to keep you in line.
Yeah. You know. We'll talk to her about the 9,000 degrees that are being conferred tonight. So pretty exciting. So congratulations to Morgan and the great work that she did here at the Morning Voice and for our company, Ackerley Advertising. And we have a big show today. We've got the Pope's going to be here. Is the Pope going to be here? Is that what I heard?
Wait a minute.
Okay, the Pope is not going to be here, but someone that knows the Pope really well is going to be
here. That's right. So, there you go. That's almost as good.
Almost as good, yeah. And we have some friends here with us. We've got Kevin Templin and his daughter, Holly. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Ed. Thanks for having us on.
Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
Step right up to that microphone and say... So, Holly, what's it like being the daughter of a couple of people that own a big giant restaurant in Tucson and do great work in the community? And I bet you get it all the time. Are they your parents? Do you get that all the time? Is Kevin your dad? Do you get that a lot?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here today, and we're gonna kick you into the conversation every once in a while. And she's here to see how her dad does, and she's got a piece of paper out there and a pen, and she's keeping score, Kevin, to see how you do today. So, so tell us a little bit about Casa del Rio. When did it start, and how long have you been there?
The Casa del Rio itself opened on November 19th, 1979. So we're 45 years and running. So and I've been there myself just over 6 years now. So I'm kind of new to the restaurant myself. We've got tenured employees that have been there much longer than myself. Mm-hmm. You know, people that are our employees now are folks that had trained me into the position and working there at first. But yeah, it's got a lot of great history. We've had the same chef for 28 years. You know, speaking about history, she's one of the big reasons why we do well. She's one of the reasons why we're still around. Mm-hmm. And her food is incredible. She's doesn't take any shortcuts. She's done the same labor intensive job for 28 years. And, you know, some people call it thankless, but she's a hardworking woman and does just such an incredible job. I've covered her for vacations, and it takes me 14 hours to do what she does in 6 hours. Oh. And she makes it look easy while she sits in a stool doing it, you know, and I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Yeah. But that's a big part of it. And, you know, all of our ingredients, we use all fresh ingredients in our sauces, our salsas, our soups, hand cut and peeled vegetables, hand trimmed meats. If you haven't tried our carne asada, you got to, you know, get some of that in you. It's super delicious. We trim it really well. You're not going to find any gristle, but there's a lot of labor and love that goes into that and these wonderful folks that make it all happen. And Martha, she's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg, but she's definitely the one that keeps it all together.
Matt, have you ever been to Casa del Rio?
Oh, yeah, only a time or 75,000, yes. We love it.
You and
Cantano and 22nd.
Yeah, my parents used to go to Casa del Rio all the time. They would sneak in there. They loved it. They loved the food. And, Kevin, part of the reason that the food is so delicious is this focus on freshness. And we were talking before the show started that you do have the option of the big supplying companies to pull up a truck and offload a couple of pallets full of bagged stuff that's prepared somewhere else in a big warehouse. But you opt not to do that. You opt to cut up your own tomatoes and your own peppers and do everything by hand, like you say, 14 hours worth of work to serve people at night. Why?
It's all just about the quality of it. You know, if we could do things easier and you would still have the same quality, then we would do it. You know, it would mm-hmm. be foolish not to. But if it impacts quality, that's the major concern. And if it costs you a little bit more money and takes a little bit more time, but the end result is going to be a better ingredient or a better, you know, plate of food that we get to feed to our customers, to me, that's very important. And that's what keeps people coming back. That's why you see Matt in there, you know, every once in a while. I see Bill in there too sometimes and you yourself.
I do come. I tend to be on the east side of the restaurant more so than I am in the interior of the restaurant. I don't know why that is, but I tend to be over there on the east side. So
do we need to translate that for the listeners or should we just let that one
go? I think we just let that one go. But there's salt on the rim in case in case that's a clue for anybody.
Yeah, well, we got a great cantina, which also has lots of fresh ingredients.
Yes, lots of fresh ingredients. House-made
bitters, house-made liqueurs, and just really incredible cocktail program as well.
I like to keep you honest over there, so I try to taste everything to make sure that it's all up above board. So, well, I'm going to put you on the spot, Holly, and say, of all the wonderful, delicious things that one could eat at your restaurant, what do you like the most? Which one of the dishes do you like the most?
I'm like a really picky eater, so it's always something. I always get something boring, like a beef taco or like a bean and cheese burrito.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hot for me is vanilla ice cream. You know, I am not a big hot pepper guy. Never have been. Never been a hot salsa guy or any of that kind of stuff. Sixto Molina, who I was with one of the times we were just there, you know, he'll pour half a bowl. Sixto's listening, so I'm saying this so that he can hear this. He'll take a half a bowl of salsa and just, you know, drink it with a straw. And, you know, I start sweating just watching him eat it. So I'm kind of with you, Holly. I'm kind of a bean burrito guy, kind of a chimichanga kind of a guy with no salsa on it and very, very boring for a guy. No puedo hablar español porque soy gringo. For a guy that's supposed to be from southern Arizona, I'm not the big hot guy. But you don't have really hot sauce over there.
We can make hot stuff.
And you're family friendly though, right?
Yeah, our table salsa, our house salsa that gets served to everybody is more of a crowd pleaser. It's more for everybody that everybody could eat. Every once in a while somebody will find it spicy, but that's somebody who really has an aversion to spice, you know. We have the mild salsa for them.
I'm sweating right now just talking about this, and I know that sounds silly, but I am not a hot salsa guy.
Yeah, the salsa's good, man.
Yeah. So tell us, what is your number one item that most, if you serve the most of, say, on Friday and Saturday, Sunday, when it's a busy weekend, what would you be selling the most of?
The classic plate, two cheese enchiladas, rice and beans. And that's a staple at any restaurant, Mexican restaurant you go to. They're all going to have two cheese enchiladas, rice and beans. But when you know, you look at you have a mix that you can see in your point of sale system. You can see how much of each item is selling, and it's a fun thing to look at. It helps you understand, you know, how well your promos are working and things. But that one's always at the top of the list. And then other than that, chimichangas. You know, our chimis are really popular here in town, and you know, we sell over 100 chimis a day. You'd be surprised how many of those go out, and we get a pound of meat in each one of those things. So that tells you how much meat we have to work and process all that hand trimmed meat that goes into there.
We typically, with my wife and I go there, we typically get chimichangas and we'll eat half of it and then we'll take half of it back to the house and we'll have it again later because they are huge. They're gigantic. And I'm a chicken chimichanga guy. Speaking of a boring kind of a guy, chicken chimichanga is my, with no sauce on it and maybe a little sour cream. So obviously during COVID, takeout was a huge thing for you. There are a zillion people coming over to get takeout, but you've always been a takeout place. You even have that little extra place where people come and pick up food, and that's been going on for a long, 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 long time. But you also do catering, right? So tell us a little bit about your catering operation, what you do there.
Yeah, so we offer catering. You can either pick it up or we'll deliver it to you. We can do small parties. You know, you're feeding 15, 20 of your friends, or you're feeding 200 or 300 of your friends or employees. And we've done them for large companies here in town, families, for any type of event. You know, we're there. We can set it up. We even have the ability to serve it if that's what somebody needs. Every once in a while, they need you to serve the food to them as well. But the pricing and the quality of the food, I think, is what's the best. And you can feed folks. You know, you can get away for about $10 a person, you know, with our taco bars. We have fajita bars and other options that are out there. But you know, it becomes a really affordable option where you get a plate of food for somebody. If you do the taco bar, it's two tacos per person, rice, beans, chips, and salsa, $10 a person. It's a pretty all-inclusive deal. And then you can even, if you don't like to come over and deal with us, they have platforms like Easy Cater where they actually send folks over to pick it up from our restaurant for larger companies, larger software companies like Quicken. They have an office here in town, and they're regular customers of our catering operation.
And they use the Easy Cater and kind of place the order in advance, and then they don't have to deal with it. They just arrives at their place.
Yeah, and when it's lunchtime, you come out and there's lunch.
Yeah. So the name of the restaurant is Casa del Rio, which means house by the river, right?
Yeah.
So you're located right by the Pantano Wash there at 22nd and Pantano, right?
Once upon a time, it used to have water in it every once in a while, you know.
Maybe this summer. Maybe we'll get some rain this summer and there'll be a little rain in it. But so it has been there. It has been a staple on the east side for so long. It's very easy to get to. It's right at the corner of Pantano and 22nd. You've got some things been going on. That gas station kind of has had its ups and downs, but it looks like it's
a gas station again.
It's like it's
who
back,
knew?
Yeah, it's like it's back in operation again. So,
yeah.
That was kind of an eyesore there for a little bit, but now it's a nice little corner there. So in case you're wondering where the landmark is, it's right across from the post office, right?
Yeah, that's how most people find us. A very busy post office, so it wasn't a bad place to build a restaurant when they built the place back in 79. Back then, right. It was still a busy post office from what I have heard.
I was there yesterday. It's still a busy post office.
Is it? Great.
Yeah, it's very busy. So, okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Casa del Rio. We're with Kevin Templin and his daughter, Holly, owners of Casa del Rio Restaurant on Tucson's east side. We'll come up and talk about the specials that are good through the 20th, and Memorial Day is coming up as well. So we'll talk about those specials. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Okay, you talked me into it. I'm going to Margaritaville tonight. Going to go see Kevin, and you going to be there tonight, Holly?
Oh, no.
No, okay. We're with Kevin Templin. He's the owner. He and his wife own Casa del Rio, and their CEO is Holly, his daughter, and she's here with us this morning. You told me not to forget this, Matt, so don't forget to follow The Morning Voice on Facebook. Click the like button, and you can message me or any of the hosts. We have 5 hosts, so you can message us, or you can give us a call right now at 520-790-2040. And leave us a comment with Matt, or if you want to ask Kevin and Holly a question, you're more than welcome to join in the conversation. That's 520-790-2040. So, Kevin, being the owner of a restaurant, you got to be promotionally minded. So, I got to change things up every once in a while. So, you've got some specials that are good now through the 20th of which I guess is Tuesday, the day of our eat and greet down at Caruso's. So, tell us about 3 rolled tacos with cheese. What is a rolled taco?
Yeah, just a classic rolled taco. It's basically like a taquito, you know, a thinly rolled taco that has a chicken inside of it. And then we just top it with some shredded cheese. It's a real basic plate, but it's something super affordable.
Yeah, you know, $6.99 now through Tuesday. So come in and check that. And that's with chicken, made with chicken, correct?
Yes, okay. Those do have chicken in them.
Okay.
And then you can opt to have guacamole put on it for an extra $2, which is a real popular choice, and or make it a meal with rice and beans, but you know, it's a nice affordable plate for $7, and then you can step it up for a 5-piece mini chimmy combo. And those mini chimmies are bigger than they sound. It's hard to even put down 5 of those, and we're doing those with rice and beans for $13.49. It's a popular plate that people are splitting. You talked about how you take half of your chimmy home and, right. and stuff. It's a real popular way for folks to, you know, husband and wife will come in, they'll get a chimmy and then split it between the 2 of them.
Right.
Because it's a lot of food sometimes for one person. But, you know, then that way it's affordable for them. They're getting a nice, affordable, wholesome meal. And speaking of chicken chimichangas, one of your favorite things, that's on special this week as well, enchilada style. So smothered in red or green enchilada sauce and melted cheese on top, served with sour cream, guacamole, lettuce, cheese, tomato, and green onion. It's you know, a loaded plate, and that one's only $16. You know, it's a heck of a plate for that amount of money. And I recommend you do it Christmas style, you know, half red, half green enchilada style.
Oh, that's great. I like that Christmas style. The Mexican flag, right? Yeah, that's great. So we got some good specials for this week through Tuesday. So come over this weekend, tonight, and over the weekend. It should be pretty crowded in all restaurants this weekend because we've got U of A graduation going on, and all the restaurants kind of tick up a little bit when moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas are in town for the graduation, which we'll be talking about in the second hour with the vice president of the university. You also, on the east side of the restaurant of Casa del Rio, a little further away from the Pantano Wash, so you don't fall over the side because of what happens on that east side. You have a nice little bar there, a wonderful little cocktail lounge, and you have some beer specials and some special drinks on sale as well. Tell me a little bit about Kona Big Wave. What is that?
Kona Big Wave is a nice, refreshing beer. It's a Hawaiian beer. It's just, you know, it almost has a little tropical flavor to it, like a citrusy type of flavor mm-hmm. to it. And it goes well, though, with a nice meal. It's not going to fill you up. And we're selling it for only $2 right now, which is right. a steal of a deal. You know, I don't imagine anybody else is selling Kona Big Wave for $2. And but you can have that in your chimney and you know, not break the bank and right. And not also hurt yourself.
If you want a Mexican beer, you can get Jalisco Estrella as well for $2, and that's a nice Mexican beer that complements the food. And then you have a couple of IPAs. You have a peanut butter stout and a hazy IPA. Tell us a little bit about those and where they come from.
Yeah, so the hazy IPA, that one is a very refreshing beer. That's actually a lower ABV. It has lower alcohol than most IPAs do. Most IPAs are sitting around like 8 or 9%. That one's 4.7%, I believe, but it's very refreshing. Has flavor notes of pineapple, a little bit of mango, and a little bit of citrus in it. And when you hear that about beer, sometimes you just pick it up a little bit, but it's usually just a mouthful of hops. This one, it really is refreshing. It's a really a nice beer. People that aren't beer drinkers, that's a beer for a non-beer drinker. It's very, very good. The peanut butter stout, that's a, you know, considered like a milk stout is what those are. And but this one, it has flavor notes. If you pour this one, these come from a local brewer. I want to mention that, from Black Rock Brewery here in town, and they do an amazing job. They're a newer company, been around, I think, around 10 years. I'm not sure with the exact number of that, but that's how long I've known of them. And their peanut butter stout is one of the best I've tried. You put it up to your nose after pouring a fresh glass, you really can smell peanut butter coming off the top of it. And it has nice notes of chocolate and espresso. And it comes out black, kind of like Guinness would or one of those nice stouts do, but it's not super heavy. It's not very thick and milky. It's also, you know, very, very drinkable beer. They're very good. And we're selling those by the pint for $4. It's a craft beer, local craft beer, $4 pints, also a great deal. But, you know, we want to push that and raise awareness for this amazing beer that's being brewed here in Tucson.
That's kind of a throwback when you think about these costs. $2 for a Hawaiian or a Mexican beer and $4 for a IPA. That's pretty amazing that you can do that. But it's well worth. And then you also have happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. And usually if I'm in there trying to track you down, it's pretty busy in there. It's amazing how many people hang out for a couple of hours in the time frame, and then you can also grab some food too, which is kind of nice. So
yeah, full service. It's the same restaurant. It's just almost a hidden little corner. It's hidden in plain sight. There's people who have been coming there to our restaurant for 40 years, and they've never even peeked their heads into the bar. Yeah. They hear bar, and they, you know, it gets a different type of idea.
But it's more like a cantina.
Yeah, come back into our cantina. It's amazing. Yeah. Same food, same great service, and same incredible prices.
Right. I used to hang out there with the football coaches from the high school that my kids played football. I was the president of the Boosters Club, and they used to go there after the Friday night games and kind of talk about that. So, yes, Fair Matt.
And there's pleasant live music in there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
A lot of times, which really, really makes for a nice evening out with your dinner or a cocktail, is to hear some live music.
And we got somebody tonight,
and
right?
And it's perfect. It's not too loud. It's not too soft. And it just adds to the nice experience there.
So who's performing tonight, Kevin?
Tonight, we've got the Blue Dream Duo, which is an incredible little band here. If you look for them on social media or something, you might find them more easily as the Blue Dream Trio. Because of the lack of space, they show up with two of their band members and they leave the saxophone guy out of it. And which he's incredible. His name is Brian Hicks, incredible musician as well. Unfortunately, we don't get him there, but we've got Chelsea Hicks, his sister, who's one of the best voices in Tucson. You can see her at the Gaslight Theater performing quite often. She's the Marilyn Monroe impersonator half the time. Sings their Christmas shows, and she just has, you know, a dynamite voice. It'll just capture you. And then Joshua Rhodes playing the guitar. He is just one of a kind. He's classically trained. He can play Spanish guitar. He could play hard rock. He could play anything. And yeah, I mean, they're so cool. We're so lucky to have them at the Casa del Rio, just playing in the corner. Some of our folks, I'm sure Matt's maybe seen the Blue Dream Duo before.
I believe we have. Yes, absolutely.
So, Holly, you kind of grew up around the restaurant. Your dad's been involved with it for quite a while. So, what's your favorite thing about being at Casa del Rio? What's your favorite thing there? Is it the music? Is it the family atmosphere? Is it the wonderful smells as you walk through the door? How delicious it smells there?
I think just the environment. Like, all the employees are just really lovely, and it's like never chaotic or stressful to be there.
Right. I it's funny that you say that. I walked in the other day and there was like 8 or 10 parties waiting to sit down, and they were just calm and they just took care of everybody and everybody was fine and everything. And so that is a really great observation. It's just low key is the best way to do it. Don't pull the panic alarm at this point. So, Kevin, it's great to have you. You know what? I'm going to put you on the spot. I did this with somebody for the Bullathon the other day, and they said yes. So we do these eat and greets. We're doing one next Tuesday at Caruso. So you know what we should do, Kevin, is we should have a Morning Voice eat and greet at Casa del Rio coming up in June. Would you be up for that?
Yeah, I would love to have that.
Yeah, I think we should maybe make that the next stop on our little trek around the community. So let's plan on doing a Mexican food eat and greet at Casa del Rio maybe in the June timeframe. So we'll get back to you on the date on that. Well, thank you for coming in today, Kevin. And Holly, it was great having you here as the CEO of Casa del Rio Restaurant. And Kevin, how do they get a hold of you guys? They go on the website, cdrtucson.com, right?
Yep, you got it, man.
Yeah,
cdrtucson.com.
Great. Well, we'll probably see you tonight, and thanks for coming in. Go to Casa del Rio and join us on Facebook and see what's happening on Facebook. We'll be back with the second half of Success on The Morning Voice.
Bishop Kakanis coming up right after the news.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley, and this is Success, where we talk about the good things going on in the city of Tucson, in organizations, companies, and institutions, and speaking one of longstanding success and celebration is the Diocese of Tucson, which is headed right now by our good friend, the Most Reverend Gerald Kakanis, right now serving as the Apostolic Administrator of the Diocese of Tucson. So good morning, Your Excellency.
Morning, Ed, and it's wonderful to be with you on Morning Voice.
Yeah, thank you, my friend. And so you're kind of doing a greatest hits. You've come back to be the Apostolic Administrator. Bishop Weisenberger was named Archbishop of Detroit, I guess is where it was, where he's going. And so they called you back to step into the position again temporarily as we wait for the Pope to assign a new bishop to the Tucson. But you were bishop for Tucson for about 15 years. Could you just kind of reflect on that and maybe point out during that time what you see as maybe being some of the most important highlights of your time as the Bishop of Tucson?
Sure, Ed. You know, I came from the Archdiocese of Chicago. I was a priest of the Archdiocese and served as an auxiliary bishop in Chicago as well. And it was Friday the 13th that I got a call from the Apostolic Nuncio saying that the Holy Father has appointed you to be, and of course your ear perks up a little bit,
the
coadjutor bishop in Tucson, which I said, pardon me, I had been to Tucson really only twice. Briefly, once in 1999 when all of the bishops of the U.S. met in Tucson. It was in June, so some of them were dying from the heat. And then one other time I was in Tucson was at the Redemptorist Renewal Center where I was doing a personal retreat. But Tucson is a little different than Chicago. Rattlesnakes, scorpions, Gila monsters. But it's been a joy for me to be here in the Diocese of Tucson where I've made a number of friends and certainly feel very much a part of the community now. You know, in the time I served as bishop, there were many challenges, obviously, and a great number of blessings. I think for me, the most important things were getting acquainted with the priests here, who I've come to know as good friends, very dedicated, committed priests serving in this diocese. And the tremendous number of deacons and laywomen and laymen that are working in the diocese. You know, Paul, who was a missionary, always worked with co-workers because he realized he couldn't do everything on his own. And I think one of my hopes was during the time I was bishop is to try to help our laity to understand the role they play in the work of the church. Because not only are they members of the baptized, but they're also called to be disciples as well and to use their gifts and talents to further the work of the church.
Well, you're back as the Apostolic Administrator now, and what that means is you have all the rights and duties of being bishop, but you're kind of saving the bigger decisions for the new appointed bishop. But the work of the church goes on during the time that there is no bishop officially appointed, and so your job is pretty much the same, maybe minus, sorry about that, Matt, as opposed to making maybe some, you just reassign some pastors and so forth to different parishes and so forth. So the work of the diocese goes on regardless of whether or not there's a bishop in place, right?
Father Pope Francis, and he came into the room in his wheelchair.
Wow.
And he yelled out, "I'm alive." So I'm back. Anyhow.
That's great. Well, I wanted to talk about, we're going to talk about the world and talk about our new Pope here in a minute, but I want to just say that we're kind of in that stage of graduation, and so as the apostolic administrator and the Bishop of Tucson and being the person that's going to go to a couple of these high school graduations here in Tucson, but then also there's some in Yuma, tell us the exciting time for these young people who have gone to Catholic high school. Who are graduating, and how important that is, not only to the church, but to the community.
Exactly. You know, it's always exciting for me to participate in the baccalaureate masses that happen each year around this time. Just the other day, I had the graduation for St. Augustine Catholic High School, which is on the east side. I was thrilled that I was able to actually start that high school. Mm-hmm. They had talked about it for a number of years. And one interesting note is that Pope Leo XIV, when he was Father Prevost, came to the Diocese of Tucson to see the school that was being planned at St. Augustine, because one of the interests was to have the Augustinian fathers, who are teachers, serve in the school. And so actually he visited here when Bishop Moreno was here. And so that's a little... Side note that actually now Pope Leo XIV was here in Tucson, and regretfully the Augustinians weren't able to take the mission at the school, but actually there is a note from him to Bishop Moreno indicating that they didn't think at this point they could do that.
Yeah. Before we go to break, you just returned from a pilgrimage to Greece, and that was an exciting, I looked at the travelogue that you posted, it was amazing. And my brother, ironically, his last official duty is the director of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. In June, he's taking the boys to Greece and going to kind of follow along in your footsteps. But you saw some pretty amazing things in Greece and some wonderful places that are very historical and obviously are important to the Catholic faith and just to Christians in general. So could you talk just a little bit about your trip to Greece?
Sure, but first let me just say that we're all very proud of Julian and all he did with the boys' choir, and he will surely be missed. But the fabulous thing about traveling to Greece and Turkey was to actually walk in the footsteps of St. Paul. You know, Paul was a missionary. He traveled all around the world on three missionary trips, and so he visited places like Ephesus and Corinth, places where actually Paul preached. He was, of course, a Jew, a zealous Jew, and he hated the New Way, and actually was trying to punish those who were following the New Way, which was that Jesus as the resurrected one, as the Messiah. And so to actually be there in those places where he preached, where he taught, where he served, is quite moving, especially because many of the masses we celebrated were outside, actually on the very site where Paul would have been speaking.
Right. So an amazing trip and an amazing walk through history, as you will. I just wanted to touch on one thing. I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but, I'm a parishioner at Mother Sorrows. I've been there for my whole entire life. And after COVID, the census of the Catholic Church in parishes kind of fell a little bit, and even in the Catholic schools a little bit. And as you're now facing an interim position of administrator here during the transition of bishops, I guess the question is, what can we do to, I know what we're going to talk about after the break when you talk about the new pope, and that should probably be a big, big impetus for this. But how do we make the Catholic Church relevant and important and meaningful for people to come back home and to come and experience the Catholic faith?
You know, I think Pope Francis really gave us a formula of how to encourage people to come back to the faith, and that is that the church be inclusive, that it be with open arms. You know, he often compared the work of the church as a field hospital, mm-hmm. present to those who are hurting, present to those who are struggling. And I think to the extent that the church can be engaged, involved, and attentive and listening to the struggles of people. You know, we hear so often today that our young people are discouraged, depressed, anxious, and I only wish they could discover the Lord mm-hmm. and his love for them and how consoling and renewing that would be. So I think it's a matter of being present, engaged, involved, excuse me, and really available to the needs of people. When people realize that they're cared for, they're being attended to, they're being served, that makes all the difference.
When we were had a little family reunion when Julian was retiring, my sister came in from Portland, and I had this conversation with her about the churches in Portland and the Catholic diocese that she is involved in, and we talked about joy and how joy has to be the bedrock of coming to church on a Sunday and walking away feeling joyful, and then living that out for the rest of the week. So, and I think we've got a real point in time where at least Americans can maybe rally around the Catholic Church. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, and your personal relationship with him, and the exciting things that are going to be happening. We're speaking with the Most Reverend Gerald Kakanis, the Apostolic Administrator, former Bishop, Diocese of Tucson. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host. We have five hosts. We have Lydia Aranda coming in on Monday with Rainmakers. We have Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell. Wednesday, Grant Kruger. Thursday, Tom Moulton. And I do Success and Wonder on Fridays. And we're speaking with the Most Reverend Gerald Kakanis, the Apostolic Administrator for the Diocese of Tucson. He was Bishop of Tucson for about 15 years, and he has a connection to an international story, the history of the world. He is a friend of the new Pope, Pope Leo the 14th, and so you know him personally. You knew him as Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, and you know him as a part of the Augustine Order. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with our new Pope.
Yes, all of us are excited about the election of Cardinal Prevost as our new Holy Father. And actually, this Sunday at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a Mass at the Cathedral in gratitude for his being elected. We're also going to be taking up a collection at the Mass for the Diocese of Chiclayo, which is where he served as a bishop in Peru. But I met now Leo the 14th back in Chicago. We're both Chicagoans. We're both White Sox fans. And we had several opportunities while in the Archdiocese of Chicago to meet. And then I know he was transferred to Peru, where he served as a missionary for some time, and then was actually the bishop of a small diocese, a poor diocese, called the Diocese of Chiclayo. And so we had some conversations while he was there. And one thing I decided, I wanted to ask him if he could send us some Spanish-speaking priests because we were so desperate for a priest who spoke Spanish and could celebrate and preach in Spanish. And he said, well, let me think about it, and if I can, I'll do my best. And sure enough, not too long afterwards, he called back and said, no, I'm able to send you a priest. Which is the way he is. He always is there to try to help, to try to support. And I was most grateful to that. I've also had a chance to see him twice since he's been appointed as the head of the Dicastery for Bishops, which is a very important committee in the Vatican, because his role, along with the committee he's oversaw, was to recommend bishops for dioceses all around the world. And when I was in Rome on the two occasions I was there, I wrote to him and said, is it possible to get together? And as he always does, immediately he responded, sure, let's have some time. And the last time was in February. Of course, at that time, he was very concerned about the Holy Father. He was not doing very well, although at that time he said he thought he was improving because he was meeting with him almost daily to recommend bishops for appointments. And we had a really a wonderful conversation. It was there that he asked me if I would be open to serving as the apostolic administrator, that my name had been suggested, and his responsibility, of course, would be to bring that to the attention of the Holy Father. So I said, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it forever. Right. And so I hope he remembers that conversation.
Right. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I remember back when I was a young man, it's probably been 35 years ago, when Pope John Paul II came to Phoenix, and we orchestrated a couple of buses and went up, and that was a really fascinating, fun experience for lots of people from Tucson. It would be great to get the Holy Father to come to the Americas and make his way down to the former home of White Sox spring training facility, so he could come down and see. And now, what? Maybe he could go to St. Augustine and say a prayer, since they're 14-30 right now. The Sox need a little bit of divine inspiration in order to
not do it so well.
This is exciting for the world, is it not? To have the first American Pope, and to have some would say, like me, I thought we were going to get an Italian Pope or a Pope out of one of the maybe the Philippines or maybe even Africa, and to have it be the first American Pope, kind of, for those that are on the inside and play inside baseball, maybe it wasn't that big of a surprise, because he's so worldly traveled and can speak several languages and is kind of the right guy at the right time. But it was kind of a surprise for Americans. I was watching the coverage when he came out on the balcony, and to find out that he was an American, it was really exciting for Americans and for those of us in the Diocese of Tucson. I think this is going to be an exciting thing for the world, don't you?
Absolutely. I think all of us thought that the conclave would never select an American, and I knew his name was kind of floating around, but when I said to people, well, I doubt that they're going to choose an American. So like you, I was completely surprised. In fact, when the Cardinal came out on the balcony and announced the new Pope as Roberto, I knew immediately it was Bob Prevost.
That's great.
Now his whole world has changed. But I'm sure at some point he'll come back to visit the United States. You know, his first word on the balcony when he was first introduced to the world was peace. Mm. And I think certainly in his priorities will be somehow to maybe visit in Ukraine, to visit in Gaza and Israel. He wants to be a peacemaker. He always has been. He's a very humble gentleman. But eventually, I think he might come to the States. I'm sure he would enjoy that, and people would be thrilled.
Yeah, we're going to have to book a trip to wherever he goes. We're going to have to go see him and say hi to him. You know, I just that theme of peace and what I mentioned earlier, joy, you know, in these tumultuous times and what I would consider maybe in some cases chaos, when we've got a lot of concern about our brethren who are not sure whether they're going to remain in our states, and they're worried about their citizenship, and we've got this terrible Tucson problem of homelessness and crime and other things. You know, peace and joy are two things that the world desperately needs right now, and I think that the new Pope might point us in that direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. And every Pope is different, of course. You know, I had the privilege of meeting Pope John Paul II when I was in Chicago, and he had come in 1979. He was very young at that time, very vibrant. And he came into my room and he said, could I use your washroom? And I said, sure. And he came out and he said, you like to ski? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I do. He said, I was reading your ski magazine. So that's a third class relic now.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I got to go to Castel Gandolfo when Pope John Paul II was first there. And he was out on water skiing when I was in his house signing his big guest book. I didn't get to meet him personally, but Father George Coyne had took me to his summer home. So it was very nice. Well, a couple of things. One, we wish you the best of luck as the Apostolic Administrator for the Diocese of Tucson. We appreciate your service again. You've been a great service to our Catholic brethren and to the whole community, and we appreciate your leadership and what you do. And we appreciate the joy and the good things you're bringing to the diocese along with our new Pope, Pope Leo XIV. So God bless you, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Great to be with you.
That's the Most Reverend Gerald Kakanis, who is the Apostolic Administrator, the former Bishop of Tucson. He's filling in until Pope Leo XIV can pick a new bishop and assign him to Tucson, and we'll all celebrate when that happens as well. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back with Wonder after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we celebrate the good things going on at the University of Arizona. All the fantastic research, all the great outcomes. We have a huge graduation happening at the school tonight. Before we get there, I do want to thank a couple of sponsors. We have Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue. They've been involved with the University of Arizona for about 90 years of their existence, and one of their founders was a professor at the University of Arizona for many, many years. And so we welcome Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Andy Motchkin as sponsors of Wonder. And we're also proud to announce that Hughes Federal Credit Union will co-sponsor Wonder segment now through the end of the year. Established in 1952, Hughes Federal Credit Union serves members in the Tucson area, as well as employees and retirees and students, and about 850 affiliated companies. Pretty cool, Matt, right?
You bet. Welcome. Welcome to Hughes. Close to my heart for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, a lot of reasons. So we thank them for stepping up and sponsoring Wonder. I was just talking to our guest about how what Wonder is about telling the story of the University of Arizona and all the fantastic things that are going on at the University of Arizona, and sharing that that vision, that mission, and that land-grant institution mission with the city of Tucson, with the community, the Southern Arizona, with our state legislators up in the State House, and also our federal delegation, so that they know how important the University of Arizona is to Tucson. So with that, we'd like to welcome Assistant Vice President of Presidential Events and University Ceremonies, Heather Lukic. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. I know this is a kind of ironic that Mitch and I set this up for you, and tonight you have a huge ceremony with 9,000 degrees to be awarded at commencement, but here you are sitting on your busiest day of the year, sitting in front of us talking about how important graduation is. So tell us about what will be happening tonight. President Suresh Garamella will confer about 9,000 bachelor's, master's, doctoral, and professional degrees. So tell us about what's going to be happening at U of A commencement.
All right. Thank you again for having me. I really, really appreciate it. It's been a whirlwind planning season, and we're super excited to host the 161st commencement. It's actually taking place at Arizona Stadium tonight. We have the largest RSVP list that we've ever had. We're looking at almost 5,500 RSVPs, right. Possibly 35,000 guests that we're expecting. We are just thrilled. And yeah, you did catch me on a day that's like, oh my gosh, I have so many details running through my head. So really, really excited. The team is gearing up and making all final preparations.
This is great. Yeah. You know, I was at the Eller College marketing department, a little ceremony yesterday. And then of course, our good friend Morgan Murphy, who's been with us for a good year now, as she just graduated from the Master's of Marketing program. And it's just so energetic to see these young people so proud of their accomplishments, and they have their parents and their extended family with them, and they're just it is a special time of the year, and it's amazing to see that.
Yeah, it really is. There's a lot of energy, and really just, you know, walking across campus, rolling across campus, getting everything ready while we're doing our work, we're seeing them. You know, all the families are here. All of the grads are walking around in their caps and gowns and going to their convocations and celebrations and gearing up. So yeah, we're really excited.
You know, I was I know Mitch told me to we're not talking about the president and the provost today, but I do have to say that I was with the president the other day, and he emphasized the land grant university aspect of the University of Arizona and the mission of what we're supposed to be. And we're not NAU, and we're not Grand Canyon University, and we're not the school up north, and we're not a two-year degree. We are a full-fledged research institution with a land-grant mission, and that is different from everything else, and it makes us, as a university population, really powerful in a lot of different ways. And this kind of culminates that that learning that's going on in classrooms across the university, and indeed across the state. And this is really an important milestone for these young people that are graduating and moving on to their next part of their lives.
Yeah, you said it. It's a milestone. And I think it's incumbent upon us as a university to celebrate that. And that's what we do. We do our very best to give them an experience that is so memorable.
Right.
Yeah.
What are some highlights tonight? Who's keynote speaking? Who is the fireworks are going to go off? What is happening tonight?
Yeah, there is a lot happening tonight. The actual show, we start with a pre-show, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. The stadium takes time to load with folks and all of our guests and our graduates, and so we utilize that time to interact with the grads and the guests. And and so we have MCs that that get the crowd going, and we play some awesome videos on our on some of our awardees. We chat with like all of our graduates. We have a cap decorating contest, things like that mm-hmm. really kind of roam through the stadium and interview our grads as to why they're here, what got them here. All of my family and friends are here, and they take that moment. It's that kind of awestruck moment to kind of be on the field.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Heather Lukic. She is the Assistant Vice President of Presidential Events and University Ceremonies, and today might be maybe the installation of the president himself was maybe a huge event, but in terms of numbers of people, this is probably your biggest event of the year, with over 9,000 degrees being conferred. And we're not only talking about undergraduate degrees, which are really important, and of course out of the Eller College where I teach in the communications department, there's a lot of my students are graduating today, but we also have a lot of master's students. Adam Ackerman has just walked in. He's with us. We'll talk with him in a little bit, and Morgan, of course. But then we also have conferring some doctoral degrees, the pinnacle of academic education, at least for the first go around, and some postdoc professional degrees and so forth. So this is a pretty encompassing ceremony with lots of different levels of graduate degrees being conferred.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another kind of a cool highlight that that kind of going back to the highlight of the show is we've got the undergrads who are coming in to the field, but at the same time, our graduates, master's, PhD professionals are queuing up and they are processing in tonight, and they lead the faculty in, and then the faculty, it's the grad level faculty, and then our platform.
So they're not going to read all 9,000 names, right?
No,
because you'd be there till next Tuesday
if
that was the case.
Yeah.
But they do highlight, obviously, some special students and some high-achieving students and so forth, and some of the doctoral students and so forth get a little bit of accolades, but they all are kind of stand up in their groups, right? And
correct.
And they graduate en masse, as you will.
Yeah.
And that does take a while, though, because there's so many of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's about a 90-minute show.
Right.
From, beginning to end, and then, of course, the finale. And what we do, you're right, it's not, walking across stage, can't make that happen. It's just mm-hmm. too many people. But President Caramella will confer his first class,
right.
And
great.
He'll confer en masse at the end. But you're right, we have a platform of about 50 people. Mm-hmm. And of those 50 people, we've got honorary degrees, Alumni Achievement Award winners, and our wonderful students. Seven student honors, Provost Award, Roby, mm-hmm. Nugent, and Freeman Awards.
Those are big ones.
Long-standing awards on campus. And so we're really, really excited. We'll have speakers from our student leadership,
mm-hmm.
ASUA, GPSC, for those of those for some of the folks, it's our student governance leaders who make remarks. And we have tons of student participation this year.
Great. And as they say, it takes a village. When you think about putting 35,000 people into Arizona Stadium, and Steve Patterson with the Office of Public Safety, Chris Olson with the Police Department. You think about all of the stadium concessions and janitorial and all the things that have to happen. One big area that, which we'll talk about here in just a second, parking. Parking is huge when you're trying to get that many people into the stadium, and there are a lot of them, probably maybe over half of them, are from out of town because they've come in to see their child graduate. Where do people park if they want to go down there and park? There's parking garages near, but it's going to be kind of like a football game, right?
Yeah,
you got to find a place to park.
Yeah, right? You got to find a place to park. You got to plan ahead. I just recommend everybody check out the website. Our website, commencement.arizona.edu, has all of the information that you need to plan ahead. And that's kind of my primary, you know, think about where you're going to park. There's a garage south of the stadium, just to the west of the stadium, the Cherry Garage for ADA. And just remember, it's going to be, you know, packed. We'll have convocations coming out of McHale Center at that time too. And so it's just
There'll be water stations everywhere because of the heat.
Yes. Yeah. And everywhere.
Prepare for that.
Yeah.
And it's clear bag policy, right? Which means you can't bring a big old giant purse or backpack or ice chest or anything like that into the stadium. So clear bag policy, just like you would be going to a U of A football game. Yep. So take that into mind as you're doing that.
Exactly.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this exciting day and your office and some initiatives that you guys are putting together as kind of a relatively new office of presidential initiatives and events and so forth. Again, we want to thank Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union for sponsoring Wonder. We will be back in just a minute to talk with Heather Lukic about graduation at the University of Arizona. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host for Wonder on Fridays, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. And if you'd like to get in on the action, give us a call at 520-790-2040. And Matt will take your call. And if it's pertinent, we'll get you on the air if we can. So Heather, you, not you personally, but the university is conferring about 9,000 degrees, as you said. This is President Garamella's first class of conferring undergraduate and graduate degrees. But this is all about student involvement and having engagement with the students. And that's obviously a big part of what his presidency is going to be, is how do we engage students, 100% engagement, as they say. Tell us a little bit more about some of the things that will be happening with students being involved.
Wonderful. Yeah. The commencement is a huge event. It's a huge event, and it really doesn't happen without partners across campus. Obviously, we have our faculty and staff who are involved, and our service partners who are obviously parking, transportation, facilities management, and all that. And as we build the show and as we build the production, we realize that there's talent within our students, within our current students. And so what we really tried to do this year is more than ever incorporate students in the show. Obviously, we've got singers and we have, some fine arts, wonderful students that are going to be singing and performing at the show. But we have obviously our color guard. We have MCs, and I mentioned MCs at the pre-show. Well, this is the first year that we're including our MCs as students, and they're going to be talking to parents and families. We have a student, we call it a voice of ceremony. So voice of ceremony means is there's a person when you're making an announcement and you're doing transitions, we've got a student who is going to be announcing the platform as they arrive into the stadium and saying all of their names. And so it's really amazing that we're able to give these students that experience. We've got assistant stage managers who are students. We have at least, I think, four of those. We have students that have done voiceovers in some of the video that our guests will see, student videographers. We have two
student talent in those videos.
Student talent in the videos, exactly. Right. And also producing the videos, which is really cool. Behind the scenes, we have our student staff of three. We have three students that work all year round with us, but this is their time to shine and work on the behind the scenes, just, you know, getting things here and there, making signs, all of the, you know, the last minute details that everybody's doing right now.
They're working right now while you're sitting here talking to me. Yeah.
You bet. But it's all good. It's all good because they know I'm here and I'm giving them a shout out. Yeah. So our mascots and handlers, this year we have 13 juniors who are going to be in the outside the perimeter. Mm-hmm. I think it's the Bobcat group.
Bobcat
group. And they're going to be just doing guest services, just chatting with people as lines are queuing and really, you know, gathering information and just meeting people. And it's, you know, making it a nice experience.
Right.
So
are there performances too, by some musical performances or?
Yeah, for the most part, we do have, it's our a cappella group that be singing the national anthem and the alma mater.
Correct.
And those are, that's our student. And then of course, our students. And then of course, Wilbur and Wilma.
Right.
And obviously the grand finale, which is more of a exciting.
Yeah.
As you maybe have experienced it, it's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And it really strikes up the energy in the students, and it's exciting for them as well. So it's kind of the culmination of everything.
Yeah, it really is. And so this year, just kind of thinking about it, I'm really proud of bringing those students in.
And so you plan all year for this. Of course, there is a winter convocation, which is smaller, and it's typically, the schools do them
right
in their own little place. So if you're a December graduate, you have a little ceremony for you. But this is the big one that that the whole entire university is engaged in.
Yeah.
And so you work all year on this. And
absolutely. And it's funny because we actually work really closely with all of the colleges on scheduling and making sure that their convocations are aligned, because we want to make sure that they're listed in the central, you know, in our on our website and all of that too. So
even over at the Elder College, which is my main home base, you know, there's so many different departments in there, and they all have to want to use the atrium at the same time. And they get that scheduling of who gets the space and who gets it when. So it's kind of crazy, but it's beautiful. Yeah, they get to use the same decorations, which makes it kind of nice.
So that's a resource sharing. That is smart.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about, you know, you are in the Office of Presidential Events and University Ceremonies, and this was created a couple years ago to kind of one, focus on graduation, but also some other things. For instance, there was the installation of the new president, which was one of your big activities for the spring. But it was decided that you needed to have this new infrastructure in place because of the vast array of all the million things going on at the University of Arizona. There needed to be one coordinating office and organization that is kind of overseeing this. So tell us a little bit about the office and what you do on a regular basis.
Oh, absolutely. So you're right. Our office, when we found out that we would be taking on commencement, and actually, you know, it made a lot of sense at the time. Because we are event professionals and we were able to bring together the number of event professionals who were already in different departments, and we just sort of merged. And it's been amazing. We've been able to grow and also assist our other event coordinators all across campus. Mm-hmm. So the idea, we're not there yet. We have a lot of work to do, but the idea is to sort of be that central hub and to really, you know, outreach to our colleagues who are planning events and really take into consideration the experience of all of our guests. And all of our guests, you know, could be alums, it could be, you know, at a football game, it could be, you know, special guests, donors, faculty, staff, students, community. I mean, we have a ton of activities on campus. There's always something happening. And so there's a lot of event coordinators, some people who are event coordinators part-time.
Right.
And so being able to be a resource, someone to call and say, hey, you know, we need help finding space, or we need help, you know, developing a script, you know, things like that, we're able to do.
That's great. And, you know, it's important because it's about experience and networking and knowing who to call and how to get this permission to do this. And do we need insurance involved in that? And, you know, can you bring this car on at this time? And can we get the gate open? And all those millions of things. I look at it from the guest perspective, like you said. We'll know that if, you know, guests from out of town come and get to enjoy a little convocation with their child in their department, and then they go over to the big event, and then they take some pictures on the way out, and they go out to eat or do whatever they do, and there were no hiccups, and they wouldn't have to think about anything. They just come and do it,
yeah.
And they experience it. That's your goal, right? Yeah. It's just have it be smooth with...
That's our goal.
No hiccups.
Yeah, that's our goal. It's hard. It's hard because it's there's a lot of moving parts, but that is our goal, you know, really just making it an experience and welcoming an welcoming experience for our guests.
Right. Yeah. Well, Heather Lukic, you're the Assistant Vice President of Presidential Events and University Ceremonies at the University of Arizona. We talk about Wonder on Fridays, and Wonder celebrates the great things that are happening at the University of Arizona. And of course, maybe there's no other thing as fitting as graduation to talk about the focus on Wonder and how wonderful the students are and the faculty and staff that provide the education and the resources. And then, of course, the administration, the infrastructure of this land-grant institution. Proud to be part of it, and I'm glad that you're heading up the presidential events group, and I know that you'd rather be at Arizona Stadium right now running around with all those hundreds of people that are making that happen. So we do appreciate you coming in today and talking with us about the graduation at the University of Arizona.
Well, so thank you.
Graduation is tonight at Arizona Stadium. What time does it start?
It starts at 7:30, but just know that gate 7 is going to open at 5:30. That's going to get you the shade first. The other gates are going to open at 6:30. So just plan ahead, stay hydrated,
open
stay in
seating,
the shade.
Right?
Yep, open seating.
So it's good to get there early if you want a good seat to take those photos. So.
It's all going to be a great seat. It's all going to be a great seat. It's in the round, so we're right in the middle of the field. So
that's great. And thank you for all you do for making this important day so special for so many students and for the community at large, celebrating the great things going on at the University of Arizona. And Wildcat for life, and bear down and beat ASU, as they say.
Yeah, bear down. Go Cats.
Yeah, go Cats.
Take care.
Thank you, Heather, so much. Heather Lukic, the Assistant Vice President of the University of Arizona. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit with someone who is in their final stretch of a Master's of Marketing project at the University of Arizona, has an internship left to do, and we're going to kind of twist his arm and see what that might mean to the Morning Voice and to Ackerley Advertising. So, Heather, our best tonight, and good luck, and I know it's going to be a fantastic celebration, and hey, tomorrow morning we'll be here before you know it, and you can maybe go to Casa del Rio and have a margarita.
Oh,
and,
that would be lovely.
Yeah. We'll
thank
be back
so
with
much.
The second half of Wonder on the Morning Voice. Thank you again for being here, and we'll see you, we'll see you on the field.
Me. Okay. Take care.
Right. This is the Morning Voice.
Don't forget to follow 1030 The Voice on Facebook. Right, go right there. Facebook, 1030 The Voice. Follow us. Hit the like button. And you can see upcoming show lineups and upcoming events. 1030 The Voice on Facebook.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the great things going on at the University of Arizona. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you want to do that, that would be really good. Just hit like, and you can maybe interact with our friends who are our five hosts. We have Lydia Ronda on Monday with Rainmakers, General Ted Maxwell on Tuesday with Civic Engagement. On Wednesdays, we have Grant Kruger, who's got one of his busiest weekends of the year right now doing doing a graduation for the U of A. He hosts our Wednesday show, Food, and Food for Thought, and a little bit of politics. And then on Thursday, Tom Moulton takes us down to all the attractions in Southern Arizona, and that's sponsored by Visit Tucson and Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And then we do Success, where we talk about businesses and organizations that have been done good things in the community, things like my friend Tony Terry at the Gaslight Theater and lots of different places that have done wonderful work in the community. And then on the second half of our Friday show is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We'd like to, again, welcome Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue. which has been involved with the University of Arizona for about 90 years of its existence, and they've done a lot of interchange with the U of A over those years. And our newest sponsor is Hughes Federal Credit Union and our friends at the University of Arizona Marcom Division. So we just want to thank everybody who is rallying behind Wonder and the great things that are going on. I again want to thank our good friend Morgan Murphy for a year's worth of work here at the Morning Voice. We'll jump in Tucson first and then the Morning Voice when we switch to 7 to 9 a.m. and her work at Ackerley Advertising. She is a perfect example of the fantastic things that the University of Arizona is producing. Great students and wonderful people, and we wish her the best of luck. We try not to let her get too far away from us because she is an exceptional talent, and we congratulate her on her graduation as a Master of Marketing. As she was heading out the door of the Elder College, I had her look around and see if she could find somebody else that would fill in during the summertime, and she got half a dozen inquiries from some Master of Marketing students, and she suggested that we talk to one in particular. And his name is Adam Ackerman, and he is actually sitting across from me. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Well, I know you as a little child. You've been a performer in Tucson for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your musical journey and playing the drums and other things that you do in terms of music.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a lifelong Tucsonan. I was born here in 1990. I started playing music around the age of 8. I started on drums and then eventually moved to trumpet. And my mom, Linda Ackerman, was a longtime music director at the Gaslight Theater.
Right.
So when she started working there, there was a position opening for the drummer spot when I was about 15.
Right.
And she recommended me, and I was lucky enough to start playing there when in the early years of high school. And so for the next about 19 years, I played at the Gaslight many, many, many shows and had so many good memories and so many great friends.
Yeah.
And then during that 19 years, my trumpet career also flourished as well. I became a music major at the University School of Music, University of Arizona School of Music, and I pursued a bachelor's degree in music performance. And it was just an incredible time. Speaking of U of A Wonder, where they sent me to Australia, to China, to across the United States to represent the university and play, and with incredible performers, I had an incredible time there at the School of Music.
That's great.
Yeah.
Then you took a little break, and then you decided to go back and get your Master's of Marketing degree about 10 years later. So,
yeah.
Why?
It felt like the right move at the time. I love playing drums, but it is a little physically challenging. Over the years, my back is starting to feel it a little bit.
And you have to lug the stuff in and out too, yeah.
Yeah, it's the hardest part of the gig.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody else is at the bar having a beer and you're still breaking down your drum set. Yeah.
First to get there, last to leave.
Yeah, exactly. So you applied for and got a position as a Master of Marketing, and so you've completed your academic side of it. You're just now going to do a quick internship to kind of wrap up your experience. Tell us about your experience as a Master of Marketing student at the U of A and the Elder College.
Yeah, I had an incredible time. I learned so much. I knew I was going to learn a lot, but I was very impressed about the range of lessons that I would be learning, and more importantly, the ability to apply these lessons to the professional setting.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did I get the opportunity to work with incredible faculty, and the nicest faculty too. I had such an incredible time. I also had the opportunity to work and collaborate and do great group projects with incredible colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Morgan. I was very impressed with her work throughout the two semesters, and an incredible student.
Yeah.
It was great working with her.
That's great. Well, she speaks highly of you, and we're going to meet for coffee on Monday morning and talk about what the internship at the Morning Voice and Ackerley Advertising would look like during the summer. But then once you finish up that, you've obviously got 16 irons in the fire. You got a lot of things going on. But what's the future look like for you? How are you going to apply this marketing, Master's of Marketing degree?
I'm looking forward to seeing where the road takes me as far as whether I go into full-time marketing position at a single position. I've also considered making moves towards marketing consultancy or an ad agency in particular.
Right.
I'm just looking forward to seeing how my strengths play out in the future and seeing how the best I would be able to use my skills and how I would be able to be a strong asset to whatever team I join.
That's great. Well, Bill and I would encourage you to keep your music skills up to par, because Bill and I have been working in the agency business for now close to 50 years, and the agency business is all about love and passion and creativity and loving what you do, because it's difficult to make a ton of money when you're working, you know, 18-hour days. And of course, that's what the music business is like, and that's what a lot of businesses are like. The food business and service businesses are all about putting in the time and the effort. But yeah, it's an exciting, the reason that Bill and I'm not speaking for Bill, the reason I do it is just so rewarding. I was just talking to the assistant vice president of the University of Arizona, and it's amazing what opportunities have come to me just because I'm in the marketing business. It's an interesting kind of, you know, if I was working as a engineer in a cubbyhole at some business where I'm making $200,000 a year, I would have a good job and a really good paycheck and probably accomplishing a lot of wonderful things for the world, but I wouldn't have the same experience that I get as a marketing guy out there. It's just it's an interesting kind of a place to be. It kind of touches all different organizations and so forth. So we're going to talk with you about being an intern at the Morning Voice and Ackerley Advertising and doing some work during the summer to complete your academic career. So if there was one thing that stood out in your Master's of Marketing program, what would be that one thing that stood out to you over everything else, whether it be an experience in a classroom, a teacher that said something that just really changed your life, or interaction with other students? Or what's the one thing maybe that you can take away from your time there that just kind of just, wow, that was amazing?
I believe that I was concerned after taking such a long break between my bachelor's and my master's that it wouldn't be a good fit for me, or I would not be able to get back into the swing of things of being a full-time student. Right. And I went into the program very concerned about that. And almost immediately, I found out that that was not going to be a problem. The faculty and the administrative staff made it very clear that they would be doing everything they could to bring everybody together, no matter what their experience was, what their level of marketing experience and business experience was, and make sure that we all got the same lesson, the same level of success, and the opportunity to work and learn with each other. I worked with a great range of different students of different ages, different occupations, different life histories. I learned so much about I had a good friend who was a police officer, and a friend of mine who was a film director. And so we had just so many, we were able in these group projects to use our different experiences to create some very interesting creative solutions to business problems. It was fascinating.
That's excellent. And a lot of international students too, getting that extra flair. Well, great, Adam. Welcome this morning, and we'll sit in with us for the next few minutes, and we'll talk about some exciting things coming up for the Morning Voice. But congratulations on your graduation, and now just complete that internship, and away you go into the world. So,
thank you.
This is Wonder on KVOI 1030 AM on the Morning Voice. It was nice to speak with Adam Ackerman, who is a graduate of the Eller College Master of Marketing. We'll be back after the break with a couple of housekeeping announcements. Welcome back to the Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And by extension, we want to thank Caruso's Italian restaurant on 4th Avenue. They are going to be the hosts of our meet and greet coming up on Tuesday at, is it Tuesday?
The 20th.
Tuesday the 20th, right.
Yes,
right,
sir.
Right. I'm looking at this and it says a different date.
Looking forward to some pasta, baby.
Yeah, Tuesday the 20th. And so it's a no host. Come on down, meet the host, the five hosts that we have. And Matt Neely will be there. So that makes it well worth coming for just to see Matt.
You had me a garlic.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll be there and Bill will be there and maybe Adam will be there. So come on down. That's Tuesday. And we thank Caruso's and Hughes Federal Credit Union for sponsoring Wonder. I also want to bring to your attention that the University of Arizona head tennis coach, Ryan Stotland, is running a youth multi-sport summer camp. And our client, The Pad, who's been on this show and talked about good things going on at The Pad, that's a pickleball, indoor pickleball with 9 courts, 7 paddleball courts, and table tennis. And so that particular camp runs May 26th through 30th, and then again, June 2nd through 6th, and it's at The Pad. It's indoors, it's air conditioned, and it's for young people age 6 through 18. If you're interested, give a shout to the pad or give them a call at 372-2570, and they can give you the information about the summer camp hosted by University of Arizona tennis coach Ryan Stotland at the pad. So that's a good option for people who are looking for something for the little guys to do during the summer. And the pad is a beautiful place, and the people who own it are wonderful folks. And so, Bill Ackerley, we've got the Bowl-a-thon coming up in January. Tell us the date and time and where it's going to be.
Sure, it's going to take place on June 14th at the Lucky Strike Bowl. Okay. That's a Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon, and we raise money to buy sports equipment for elementary schools here in Tucson.
We've helped a couple of schools in the past, giving them several thousand dollars each to buy equipment and so forth. What are those schools we've helped so far?
We've helped Whitmore back in 2022, and then Monzo the next year, and then Gale. And this year we're going to be helping Drachman Elementary School over there on 10th Avenue and 22nd Street. And that's the principal over there is one of our local teaching heroes. It's Jesus Celaya. He's been the principal there for 18 years. So.
Wow, yeah. And most of these schools, these coaches are people who have, they basically are volunteering much of their time and effort, and many times they dip into their own pocket to buy uniforms right. and trophies and all sorts of things. And so Coaches for Charity tries to help out by picking a school and adopting them for the year and giving them a couple thousand dollars that they can do some fun things for their kids. So companies can and individuals can reserve lanes. So how many do you have reserved so far? Who's reserved lanes so far?
We've sold 11 lanes so far, so we're doing pretty good.
How many total do you have? You have 20 total?
Oh, we have 12, minimum of 12. And up to 20.
So yeah. We could sell 9 more lanes if we could find some people,
if we can.
What is the affordable, the super affordable deal to do a lane?
It's $250.
That's easy.
That's 4 to 6 people, and it comes with free pizza and
soft drinks,
yeah.
And the humor of Ed Ackerley serving at the MC.
I mean,
just to see that alone, why go to laughs when you can go to the Bowl-a-thon?
You're going to be the celebrity pen setter?
I am going to be the celebrity pen setter, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, so. So, Bill, obviously we could have some companies. If we had 9 more companies, that would be great. But also, what about Pick Up a Spare?
Well, Pick Up a Spare was an idea I had this year because I had some people say, well, I don't have 4 people that I want to come with, but I'd like to come by myself. So I did a special price for $39.99, and it's now up on the website, so you can register yourself. And then in that case, you can you will be placed with other bowlers, or right. or placed if there's 3 or 4 bowlers on a line, we'll stick you in with the other bowlers.
Right. So even if you're just an individual or a twosome and you want to play, but you don't have a full 6 people in your lane, you can still come and pick up a spare and participate.
Right.
And I have to say, the auction is pretty awesome. There's a silent auction that happens. There's prizes and giveaways. And, of course, Ackerley Advertising is a big supporter of that. So there's lots of restaurants and hotels and Dude Ranch just vacations and other different things that we get. And so just coming to that and supporting by doing that is great. But they could also just send in some money and help us if you want. If you want to buy your way out and don't want to come and bowl and you don't want to be part of it, you don't want to hear my humor, just send us a check and say, hey.
It's like Jack Benny when he sold tickets to his violin recitals.
Right.
The cheap tickets were the front row. And the more you paid, the further back you could.
And you paid a lot if you didn't have to come.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, great. Bill, this is again the 14th of June, 10 o'clock to noon at Lucky Strike Bowl on East Speedway. And you're still looking for a few items for the auction and some bowlers, right?
Yeah, we're looking for bowlers and we're looking for auction items. And I should thank the people that have bought lanes, specifically Alejandro Delgado Lopez, who always comes through with the big check. He bought more than one lane. And then Jeff Dunlap over at ICCU, who's been on the show. And Janet Hare of the Doubletree Hotel at Reed Park I'll purchase lanes.
And Tidy Up.
Tidy Up, too, right, yeah. Carlos Delgado over there. He's one of our sponsors here on the show, too.
That's
he bought a lane.
Well, fantastic. So we've got a busy, busy time of year, as Grant says. We've got the Eat and Greet on Tuesday at 5:30 at Caruso's. We've got summer camp coming up at the pad. And we've got the Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon. We'll be back next week with a great Memorial Day show. What a great day for students at the University of Arizona graduating tonight at commencement, and we look forward to having them, hopefully a bunch of them stay in Tucson and keep their wonderful knowledge here and enhance the community in which we live. Thank you all for listening to The Morning Voice. We'll see you on Monday with Lydia Ronda for Rainmakers, and I'll be back next Friday with Success and Wonder on The Morning Voice.